You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Again, welcome to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. Before we get started, I want to send my prayers and blessings to the Whitaker family. I'll check in a little later. I just wanted to start off by saying that. On this show, we have President Barack Obama versus California Attorney General Kamala Harris. President says something like she was fly at a fundraiser. Well, he didn't say that. There was a little trouble for that. WNBA star Swin Cass versus Baylor's Brittany Griner. That Brittany Griner talk about her going to the NBA. So Swin Cass wrote an op-ed. We also have cast changes on Real House Husbands of Hollywood. We have entertainment news and kind of a special, I wanted to do some news stories. So we have an on the clock brain initiative that was started by the president. So we'll play a little bit of the brain initiative later on in the show. So I want to welcome you again to Black on Black Crime. If you're not familiar with the show, or if this is your first time here, thanks for joining us. On last week's show, model, actress, and TV personality Claudia Jordan was on the last show. Claudia Jordan versus Omarosa. We had a preview of Denzel Washington's movie Two Guns. We had a preview of that and the shakeup for the Urban Radio show. And LL's King of the Mic tours with Ice Cube, De La Soul, Dougie Fresh, and Public Enemy. So if you want to check that out on iTunes, or you can go to soulofsyracuse.com. That's www.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC, Black on Black Crime. You can check it out in the archives. Now, if you're not familiar with Black on Black Crime, didn't get to this earlier, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. So let's go to my first partner in crime for today's show, Daniel. How you doing, Daniel?
What's up, my people?
What's up? You know, Kathleen will
y'all,
be...
Y'all make Mondays bearable, man, so good to hear from you.
Kathleen is going to be checking in a little late, and so we're expecting Kai and Finesse to show up, so I'm sure we'll be making noise in a little bit. How is it down in H-Town?
Man, it is hot. About 80 degrees, the humidity starting to creep in. We're not having a spring. We're going straight to summer.
We had snow, when was that, last week? And it's probably going to be about...
No.
You know.
What's that?
Well, we had need some to kill all them bugs, but that's just me. But I'll be there in summer,
man,
so I can't...
We could use it. Y'all send us whatever snow you got left. Yeah, we're turning into water right quick.
I got plenty of water down there. With the beaches going down to Galveston, I know that's going to be jumping in a little bit. Got a month or two before that starts.
Well, everybody's already still going down. I mean, already going down and setting up their little tents and doing their thing.
So they started a little early.
Why not? It's already 80.
That's
we don't want to wait till it gets to 105 and folks falling out.
Oh, that's true. I forgot. My first experience was that, of course, was going to, I don't know what mall we were at. My cousin said, okay, you're going to have to run from the car to the mall, I mean to the front door. And I said, why? She said, the ground is going to be pretty hot. And I'm telling you, I took about four steps.
No joke. That is no joke, man.
Yeah, yeah. When it can come through your shoes like that, that's a problem.
Concrete holds heat, I'm telling you. It's no joke. See? Not for the faint of heart. Folks that moved down here from the north during the summer, mm-hmm. for a rude awakening. Like, wait, why can't I breathe out here?
And also my cousin kept saying, you can tell people visiting they have on short sleeve shirts and shorts on all the time. He said, you get burnt up out here. You're sticking their arms out the window.
The ultraviolet rays coming through.
Oh, yeah. So he said, we could definitely tell the visitors from that. So,
hey, man, put you in a rotisserie, man.
Tim down there.
He's an oven brown brother.
He's like, just before you got here, I didn't know it was going to be like that. You need to start handing out. You're going to have to start handing out, like, brochures at the airport for that type
of heat. No, just hand out some cool pops. Eat it while it lasts.
It's like, it's going to melt, but just you get one cool pop and you out of here.
Yeah, that's
and,
what
was
her name?
Was
Sweet Brown say, I was looking for me a cold pop.
Hey, see, that's where that word came from,
calling
soda pop.
Oh, yeah, man. I was
having
a cold pop.
Get a cold pop. Hey, it flows a whole lot better. It definitely flows a whole lot better. Yeah.
So what we talking about today, man? What we talking about?
Well, before we go into that, you know, our main topic today for those people who are joining us is the president versus California Attorney General Kamala Harris, where he said that she was looking kind of fly, and people lost their mind. And we have NBA star Swin Cash. She was talking about some comments that the Quentin Tarantino of basketball ownership. I know, I had to blast about that. Another black on black crime. Mark Cuban. he said Brittany Griner, he might draft her in the second round to get her in the NBA. So Swin Cash wrote a nice little open letter. We'll talk about that later. So it's not Swin Cash versus Brittany Griner, but it's the talk about the NBA, like comparing her to being an NBA. And also we have some cast changes. I guess I can start off and talk about this a little bit. There are some, I know this is the commissioner's show. There are some cast changes on her show, Real House Husbands.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to mention that. Oh, before we get started, also, Trayvon Martin's parents have settled the wrongful death claim and reportedly for more than $1 million against the Florida Homeowner Association where her son was killed. And in exchange, they had to drop the pain and suffering portion of the lawsuit. Travelers Insurance tried to undercut the Martins, and they didn't settle. So good for them. They received the settlement at the end of the week, last week. Plus, that doesn't mean that they have settled with anybody else, by the way. Everybody else is still going to court. So the Homeowners Association is off the hook right now. They already got their judgment in the civil lawsuit. I'm trying to think. The Real Hollywood Husbands, the Real Husbands of Hollywood, they had a minor shakeup recently because Robin Thicke announced that he was leaving the show. Kevin Hart, the executive producer and kind of starring in the show, has confirmed that there was no bad blood between the two entertainers, and the rumors that they were rumors of a beef were unfounded. So Hip Hollywood, they do Hollywood reporting, has confirmed that in replacement and joining the cast of the show is Chris Rock. Of all people, Chris Rock is joining the cast. I know. What a cool, right?
Well, I mean, to me, that's an upgrade. I mean, Robin Thicke doesn't really have a lot of comedic value to me. I mean, he's an artist. But even when they used him in the show, it just didn't seem quite right, didn't quite flow. But, you know,
right.
Maybe it'll be good. Chris, I mean, you got a real strong funny man to the mix.
Right, and to have Chris Rock join the cast is, you would think because it's BET that Chris Rock wouldn't join the cast. But it already includes J.B. Smoove, the comedian, and Dwayne Martin and Boris Kojo, and, of course, Kevin Hart. So I don't know who else am I missing. What is his name?
Sounds like everybody.
Nelly, right? Nelly used to be on
there.
I haven't
seen Nelly on there. I know Cedric the Entertainer made a cameo appearance.
Made an appearance.
Couple episodes ago.
Yep.
But
so
I can't think of anybody else.
Yeah. Now, Chris Rock.
But I like the show, man. I mean, it has a lot of redeeming value. Of course,
yeah. It's funny.
I know the ladies like it.
Now, I'm wondering if Kevin Hart will still make fun or make comments about Robin Thicke's wife now that he's gone. He's still probably
it would be odd for him to do that now. You know, just kind of wouldn't go for the show. That's him. I mean, like I say, love interest, but that's his heartthrob, and you know, you never know.
Well, no, I'm sure he's gonna have enough with Boris Kojo's wife. I can't remember her name right off the bat, but I'm sure he's gonna go after.
Nicole Ari Parker.
Yeah, so he's gonna go after her. But Chris Rock actually released. He was being interviewed, and he said, I just watched the show. It seems like they were having so much fun on that show. He said, we see each other in passing, but it's rare that we get a chance to work together and have fun. So he was hanging out with Anthony Anderson and ended up doing a part of the show, and so he's going to come on for this season. So I'm not sure anybody's going to miss Robin Thicke, but it was cool that Chris Rock just came out and said, hey, I'm a fan of the show. I watch it. So cool.
Right.
You can hang out and make noise. So,
he's not gonna be going for Robin Thicke money.
Well,
they're going to have to pay him more.
Yeah.
What not?
Chris Rock would get everybody's money. So having Chris Rock on the show is kind of like, I think it was the animated film that Eddie Murphy did years ago with Cameron Diaz and the guy from Saturday Night Live.
Mm.
Oh, Shrek.
Okay.
I can't remember who's. And so Cameron Diaz came out and said, and I can't remember the guy who did
Michael Myers.
Michael Myers came out and said.
Mike Myers, something like that, yeah.
I was watching the backstory of Halloween, so I have to get him straight. Myers.
When I said that immediately, that's the first thing I thought about.
It's
Mike Myers, that's it.
Yep.
From Canada.
When Eddie Murphy came on Shrek, everybody's salary went up. I don't know how that worked, but the way that their contracts were, Eddie Murphy demands a lot of money because of the star power of Eddie Murphy. So everybody got a raise when Eddie Murphy joined the cast, although he didn't pay the lead. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, well,
that we're having
bringing a little more money in.
Oh, yeah. Just wanted to kind of bounce that around and get everybody a chance to get settled. And this is Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us. Area code 909-265-9189 if you want to call in and join the program. And remember, you can catch us in archives at BOBC. Oh, if you want to send us an email, bobc@solarsyracuse.com, if you want us to send you a link to the archive. And you can also go to esprieradio@solarsyracuse.com/BOBC. That was a lot for me to get out today. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll take a quick break. Do a public service announcement. Come back. We'll do a little news. We'll catch everyone up on the news. Then we'll come back with more Black on Black Crime. Thought I wouldn't do any bump music today. But we'll be back after this message.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. President Obama unveiled plans to invest $100 million into research mapping the human brain, which it hopes will unlock the secrets of the conditions from Alzheimer's to epilepsy. The Brain Initiative was launched by the president, who said it was the next great American project. A $1,500 necklace was accidentally advertised for just $47 in a Macy's catalog. A 14-karat gold and silver item with a diamond accent. It was intended to be on sale for $479, but the final digit was accidentally left off the price. The retailer was forced to cancel orders for the necklace, but some undisclosed number of people managed to snag the deal. 40 years ago, Motorola engineer Martin Cooper, credited as the inventor of the cell phone, made the world's first public mobile phone call. Motorola spent almost $1 million producing the phone. The cost of the phone for a customer would have been equal to today's price of $9,970. A contact lens worn each night could remove the need for reading glasses in middle age, which experts liken to braces for the teeth to correct vision without needing glasses or surgery. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News on ACN.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're a single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
You came to party with the people.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. I'm on with Daniel today for Black on Black Crime. What's up, Daniel? had to have a little parliament to start the day off. You know, I'm going to have a little pee bump before you start your day. All right, now, Finesse did send a text saying he's going to be in a little late. Our commissioner is going to be in late, but we are going to start on our first topic without those guys. And, you know, I just kind of, we're going to move right along. Remember, you can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Hit 1 on your line if you want to join in with us on the conversation. Now, our first topic is WNBA star Swin Cash versus Brittany Griner NBA talk. Now, Cash provided an op-ed to The Griot that talked about her trying out for the NBA. Now, Dallas Maverick owner Mark Cuban caused a stir when he announced that he would consider selecting Baylor's Brittany Griner in the second round of the NBA draft, but Brittany responded via Twitter saying, "I would hold my own, let's do it." Now, Swin Cash, who is a forward for WNBA Chicago Sky, Cash is a three-time WNBA champion, five-time All-Star, and a two-time Olympic gold medalist. Now, she also starred for the University of Connecticut, who made it to the Final Four and still is playing, where she helped the Lady Huskies to two NCAA championships in 2000-2002. Now, here's what she said. Brittany is already a legend in her own right, and playing her and at her playing time at Baylor has set the bar so extremely high for future college players. It seems that only in basketball people feel women need to validate themselves by playing against the guys. No one is screaming for the ladies to join the men's track team, soccer, or tennis to prove that they're worthy. So why basketball? She said, "I think it's unfortunate that so many people are focusing now on Brittany, are focusing now on what Brittany can't do rather than celebrating what she has already accomplished and could potentially do. She shouldn't have to beat out other NBA players just to be seen for what she is, and that's an amazing athlete." Now, Daniel, I have to ask the question, what do you think about Swin Cash's comments about Brittany Griner and this NBA tryout stuff?
Well, I appreciate it because someone needs to stand up and speak for the person sometimes. Because if Brittany Griner would address this herself, it would be quite awkward. So I applaud Swin Cash for stepping up and saying something like that. I don't think that any female athlete has to validate herself other than against her peers. And Brittany Griner has done that. She will be a legend in college basketball, and if she decides to go home to the WNBA, she'll be that as well because she's a good all-around player who makes her other teammates better. Just the fact that you got a woman who can block shots, who can shoot the ball, who has a good free throw percentage, and a hell of a defensive player. So she's going to be a legend in her own right in the WNBA, and it's good that there's a league for her to go to. So I don't know what Mark Cuban's angle was about talking about drafting her, because I don't think she has desire to play in the NBA.
Right, and even with that being said, I can tell you this. She has more blocks in college than anybody, male or female. She has more dunks than all of the females put together in the history of college basketball. So she has more dunks in the game. I think she has probably about eight or ten or something. But she has more than any female in the history of the game. So to Swin's point that she's done all these great accomplishments, now you're going to throw her into fire, like you're going to say, now prove yourself amongst men. No, I think, you know, you're
that's
right about that.
That's unnecessary. That's unnecessary. Like you said, they don't do it in any other sport.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a fair place to put a woman amongst grown men. Now, there are younger girls, and not to say that if a young lady wants to try to play with the men, that she should be forbidden. I'm not saying that. I think what you will see, though, as they get older and mature and their bodies mature, there's going to be a difference in athletic prowess between men and women, you know, but...
Right.
You know, go ahead.
And we know that one woman has played before. I can't even remember her name. I don't know why it just left me. But we have had that, I shouldn't call it an experiment, but someone's played before, but they haven't played in the inside. I don't know if you watch men's basketball, even on the lower levels, it is a really physical game. So just to have her in that, playing the low post, is a whole nother ball game.
Oh, man.
But
yeah, you're talking about men 6'10 and above with strength. So it just wouldn't be a good matchup. And you would have some angst amongst men trying to do her in or outdo her just because she's a woman. And I would hate to put her in that type of position.
Yeah. I can't see her trying to muscle up against anybody. You know, and that would just kind of be wrong. We would look at sports totally different if she was taking charges with those guys. You know, they don't call charges like that in the NBA, but somebody putting their knee in them. Like, you know, they're beating LeBron up, for example. Can you imagine if a female player was getting hit like that?
Oh, can't even imagine.
So, but Mark Cuban, the reason I brought the story up is because Mark Cuban's angle on this is purely, and the reason I call him Quentin Tarantino's cousin, is because it's pure exploitive. Like he's saying, it will bring marketing to the NBA. So you are going to throw her in the fire just to exploit it to make more money. So he's thinking about drafting her just to say that he did it. Yeah, Swincash said if she ultimately played in the NBA, this doesn't mean that she has arrived, or if she didn't, doesn't mean that she failed in any way. That's what Swincash's quote is.
I'd be interested to see how Brittany feels about this, because I'm sure at some point or another she will address it, or has she already?
Well, her only response was on Twitter, and she said, "I would hold my own, let's do it." But I think that's just talking noise. No, come on. Anybody who's played basketball on the men's side knows how many fights you get into. It's really when you're a young kid, it's when you learn how to cuss. It's when you play sports. Like, if you don't curse, I guarantee you can go to any park in America and you will learn how to cuss.
Yeah, my mother taught me cussing out in the backyard playing basketball. She called me out, "Damn! What did you say?"
Yeah.
I had to pop that.
Yep. Everybody seems to think basketball is like this non-contact sport, but it is not even close. And so I just thought this was an interesting story just to talk about, because I'm sure the ladies like, you know, Kai and Kathleen will probably fight us on this. And I spoke to Kathleen a little bit yesterday. I told her I was doing a story. And, you know, of course, on the women's lib side, it's like they're all for it. But we see how problematic this is, because she gets a bloody nose in one game and that is it. I mean, it happens. It's like playing hockey, you know, like basketball.
Well, the guys aren't going to want to hold up or pull up because it's a woman playing. This is just another player. So if they would come in and give her a hard foul, then now they got the repercussion. Man, that's a woman. You shouldn't be hitting a woman like that. Well, she's playing a man's game. So then you get into that whole argument. You know, and then those very same people who would be a champion for her to play in the NBA be like, well, you don't have to play that hard against her. She is a woman. So then you get into that whole deal. You know, a guy can't play halfway when he's on the court. He's got to go all out. So you can't think about, I can't hit her as hard because she's a woman.
Right. And more than that, I think that those accidents happen. Right, you get hit across the bridge of your nose. You can't be a bleeder and play basketball. Like, that is just not the sport. Because I can't tell you how many times I've gotten hit all over the place. You just can't be a lightweight just playing that.
Yeah.
So in the Brittany Griner's case, I just wanted to say, hey, that's going to be a tough road to go for her playing in the NBA. But it'll take a minute. Like, it'll just be like, it'll seem kind of normal at first, and everybody will be cool.
Well, I would say this, you know, and then my feeling would be she would be a good sixth man. But in not that she doesn't have the talent, but I think that bumping and banging for four quarters, 12 minutes a quarter, that would wear her down. And not that she wouldn't be effective, it just... It would be a tough situation. I'm not speaking against it. I'm not saying that she shouldn't. It's just that it's a different ballgame when you're dealing with grown men. And
Well, just as a fan of the game, I can tell it to you from this perspective, and you know this as well. It may be okay for the starting team, right? Because when you know how to play a sport, when you play basketball or any, if you're really good at sports, you don't do what's the word I'm looking for? You don't make awkward moves. But that second team, you know how the teams take the first string out and they put the second team on and they're trying to make the team with 10-day contracts and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I would be more fearful of that because that's a little rougher when they put the second team in.
Okay.
So, no, I'm just saying those guys are trying to get their rebound quotas. They're trying to,
mm-hmm.
you know, make the squad fully. And
right.
so if she comes in with the second team, I think they'll be a little rougher on her than even with the superstars. The superstars won't, you know, they'll play with her. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like they'll probably blow past her. They can get up probably higher than she can, that kind of thing. But when you
yeah.
start putting the guys in, who are reserves, then you're going to probably have a little bit more of a
physical game. Who are playing for the league minimum, like you said.
Exactly.
Right.
So they're going to go in, and they're going to go a little bit harder at her. So
mm-hmm.
I thought that would be more of a problem. But that's just me. That is just my take on this. And just to say, if you have any questions, I know I started opening the chat room late, so I don't know if anybody's in there. But if you're in the chat room, you have any questions or comments that you would like to add on the program, feel free. And for those on the line, thanks for joining Black on Black Crime. We're just kind of asking this question. It's not technically a Black on Black Crime because I don't think, well, I guess we didn't talk about this, but I don't think Swin Cass made a Black on Black Crime just by speaking up on not behalf of Brittany Griner, but she kind of said, "Don't judge her." So
yeah, I thought it was in defense of her. If you ask me, it was an advocacy letter on her behalf.
Right, right. And my take on this is more like it's more Mark Cuban's issue for even bringing her, putting her feet in the fire,
mm-hmm.
because that's just kind of unfair. Just to say, let's draft her for marketing sake. It'll be good for the NBA. Yeah, everything is nice and shiny and new when you're taking pictures. But
you don't want to dilute the talent from the WNBA. I mean, they need their reasons for people to come out and see folks play, too. So whatever team drafts her, when she goes around the country playing against these other teams, folks are going to come out to see Brittany Griner play. Why not have her to bolster the WNBA instead of the NBA? To me, the NBA has arrived. It's here to stay. The WNBA needs the help.
There you go. And, you know, I agree with that. The WNBA stands on its own, and they have a lot of great players over there. All right. So you can join us. We're going to take a break and come back. This is Black on Black Crime. We'll be back after this message.
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving the Knicks the business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posting and posting. All hail the King. And you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Before the sneeze, help protect with a spray. Before the tissue, help defend with a wipe. Before the cold and flu season, help prevent with Lysol. Because when you have 10 times more protection with each hand wash and kill 99.9% of germs around the house with each spray, those healthy habits start to add up. This season, a good offense is the best defense. And Lysol has your family covered because that's our mission for health.
Hey, it's me, Water. So you want me to be super amazing right from the faucet, but you think home filters can be a pain in the tuss? Well, check this out. Booyah! Shazam! H2O. Hydrolicious. Look what I can do. Magic bananas! Adios, contaminos. It's the first faucet filter that installs with just one click. and removes 99% of lead and microbial cysts. Check it out at purewater.com.
No white jeans after Labor Day. What are you, my grandmother?
I'll rock white jeans whenever I want. And with Tide Plus Bleach, they'll stay white. Not whitish, not eggshell, not acru. Whatever that is. White.
That's my Tide. What's yours?
No, this is Black Toyota Avalon.
No way, dude. It's an Avalon.
Is there a problem?
Just some down power lines up ahead.
Really?
Got some heat coming. You're good to go.
The radically new 2013 Toyota Avalon. Unlike any Avalon you've ever seen before, only the name remains. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host and my partner, Daniel, hanging in there. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm all right, brother.
You know,
there's two captains on the ship, man. That's all.
hey, that's how we need to rock the ship today, because we might need this break because of our subject matter, so the ladies won't come in and hurt us too much on this one. Now, our main topic on today's show is President Barack Obama versus California's Attorney General Kamala Harris. Now, the president said something during a fundraiser, like during a Democratic National Committee fundraiser in California last week. The president said that Attorney General Kamala Harris was by far the best-looking Attorney General. Now, he said Kamala Harris is brilliant, she is dedicated, and she's tough, adding that she also happens to be by far the best-looking attorney general in the country. Now, later he apologized after some of the media said he was, what was he thinking, and some calling his comments stupid and sexist. Now, Democratic strategist James Carville said, look, I'm 68 years old, and I do notice, honestly, that the way that a woman looks sometimes, but we've got to learn to sort of keep our opinions to ourselves. On that note, I want to ask you, Daniel, is that a black-on-black crime that he said that she was nice-looking?
Well, brother, I've seen the pictures. My dear Lord, that she's a very attractive woman. But I didn't really see anything wrong with it, because he prefaced it with some attributes that any person would be pleased to hear.
Right.
Now, there, I'm sure, a lot of women listening. Getting a compliment from a man is not necessarily a bad thing. And just because he complimented her in the midst of her duties as attorney general, this, that, and the other, I didn't see anything really wrong with it. I just think that people hedge on every word that President Obama uses and finds a way to use it against him. And
right.
I really purposely did not see anything wrong with it. There are just some people who, they just want to argue and they want to make an issue out of things for no reason. If anything, it's more of a distraction from things that are more important in this world.
Right, I definitely agree with that. One of the things, and I can tell you this as a strategist, James Carville needs to sit his butt down, for one. I think it took years upon years to get rid of Pat Buchanan, and there are some people who are way too liberal to be in politics, and one of them is Carville. As you know, Carville, Chris Matthews, all those guys who claim that they're liberal and have always been real critical of the president. This is not even coming from the Republicans, which you would expect them to be really sensitive about everything that he says. But when the Democrats start doing it, I think it's crazy that someone would say that it means something that he said that at a fundraiser. So I want to tell you what happens in fundraisers. The candidates usually say, or the person in office, normally they're normally around friends. So he said she was a friend. Attorney General was a friend of his He and Michelle. So, of course, if he's going to say that with his wife around, it was not that serious. It wasn't like he was hitting on her on stage.
Well, you're right.
She is the prettiest attorney general in the country. I want to say that for the record, too.
And I don't even need to look at all the other ones. I already know.
Oh, man. And she's tough, and she's very good at what she does, but I'm just talking about it from people thinking that that's some kind of sexist comment.
If that was the only thing he said, then maybe. But come on now. Why can't you recognize a woman's attractiveness and her beauty in the midst of her qualifications for the job and let that be okay? I mean, have we gotten to a point that we have to be careful even giving compliments? I mean, I can understand if you're saying something derogatory about a person, but you're giving a person a compliment, and then that's construed as a negative.
Right.
What is up with that?
Yeah, and like I said, it's because it's him, I think, mainly. But
man, come on, man.
Yeah, I think that's –
a brother can't give a sister a compliment no more?
And I don't think that women have a problem with that. By the way, 909-265-9189. If you're already on the line, hit 1 on the line, and I'll bring you in. If you disagree with the testosterone on the program today, but we don't see a problem with that. And I don't think most women have a problem with that. I only talked to a few about this. But just to have somebody give you a compliment is not sexist. Even if you have power, it isn't. Because he's not directly in her food chain. Now, the president has apologized. He called her. And the Attorney General, Kamala Harris, he said, for the distraction that he caused, he fully recognized the challenges of women continue to face in the workplace, and they should not be judged based on appearance. And that's a statement from Jay Carney, the White House press secretary. He said they're old friends. He certainly regret that his comments caused a distraction. Now, see, he had to release an official statement apologizing because people are sensitive because she is pretty.
Well, I will say this for this point, Jerome, that it is unfortunate that women still do face discrimination and harassment in the workplace and things of that nature, and I understand that. I've never had the problem, but I understand it. But this is something that people, that if they take issue with this, you're going a little overboard. I just don't see the significance of making that an issue. And I'm tired of him punking out, man, and apologizing for everything. You're the president. You made a comment about a woman being attractive. I'm just tired of him nutting up. And I just don't.
Yeah, I would agree. Matter of fact, I do agree with that, right? So even if I'm carefully crafting my words, he has to stop apologizing for this. But just like with James Carville and Chris Matthews, all of them love Hillary Clinton. So on the Democratic side, they're criticizing him on any women's issue is because they're trying to get her to run. So I don't know what this means in the big picture. But this is what's foul about the party system, is because even inside the Democratic Party, people don't love the Democratic Party. They like the president. And so these guys get beside themselves and always trying to criticize the president when it comes to women issues. How many women do you have in the cabinet? How many? And it's always that. Whereas black people, you would think, would, and this is not a black-on-black crime, I'm not saying this because he is black, but nobody is lobbying to say how many minorities you have, black people that you have in there. They're just concerned about women, and we're over women sensitive in this piece. Yeah, so, you know, that is my take on that, is that they're just being oversensitive for having another woman on there. Now, I do have some internet comments on this. And by the way, like I said, the president did make a home phone call to Harris. She is a potential gubernatorial candidate of California. So
really?
After he returned from Washington, yes, she is really good. Now, I'll give you a little background on Kamala Harris. She was only in office, I should say only, right, January 2011. Kamala Harris is sworn in as the 32nd Attorney General of the state of California. She's the first woman the first African-American, and the first Asian, South Asian to hold the office in the history of California. Now, she, as their chief law enforcement officer, she focused on combating transnational gangs, I guess, that they have in California, you know, that are trafficking guns and drugs and human beings throughout California. She's expanded prosecutions of mortgage-related fraud crime by establishing a multi-division mortgage fraud strike force. And on behalf of homeowners, she secured an estimated $18 billion from the nation's banks as part of the mortgage settlement, including wow. $12 billion in principal reductions of mortgages. So she did a lot of work in such a short period of time. And when, as an attorney general, if you bring in $18 billion and you've only been there about a year and a half, I think you're doing some work.
Almost definitely.
Yeah, and on the other side of that, she did graduate from Howard, which is the oldest American historical black university, and she's the author of a book called Smart on Crime, A Career Prosecutor's Plan, a Career Prosecutor's Plan to Making Us Safer. So she is very well accomplished and knows what the heck she's doing, but I think that criticism of the president is just a bit much.
Like we say, back in the hood, he ain't got nothing better to do.
Yeah, looking, that's called looking for something is what we normally say. You're just looking for something. And
Nitpicking.
Yeah, it is definitely nitpicking, but it's also kind of going a bit far. Now, we have a few internet comments that I wanted to add on to the program for this topic. And one, again, if you send your comments to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com, that's black on black crime at soulofsyracuse.com, we will not say your names unless you give us permission. But one says, huh, Carville. This, I guess, is a reference to James Carville. It says, huh, Carville. Have you been smoking weed again? Now, I don't know nothing about James Carville and the alleged weed smoking, but that's just one of the comments. That was my comment. Because he definitely is, you know, has lose his mind quite a bit.
Oh, man, he is wired up. He is wired up. So I don't think he's not cool enough and low-key enough to have, not to use the brother's name in vain, low-key, but...
It's low-key, he's not here today.
He's just not, Carville's not chilled enough to have been smoking.
Yeah.
Not that I know anything about that.
None of us, not that we do. We can't confirm or deny any of the alleged comments that are made on this show.
Mm-hmm.
keep it quiet and keep it low. Now, we also have a comment that says that the president, President Obama, does not need to apologize. In agreement with Daniel here, we should all have an eye for beauty. It is a blessing to be able to be appreciate beautiful women. Now, I won't say the name. And don't know if it's male or female who sent that, because I stripped the name from it before. But, again, it didn't seem like that bad of a deal that he would actually say something about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think we're all in agreement.
Oh, man, we got North Korea wanting to blow us up, man, and they worried about brothers. I'm a minister. I don't understand.
They're worried about people saying that she's pretty.
Yeah, we're going to shoot some missiles at you. Watch it. And you're talking about, oh, yeah, by the way, the president said that the attorney general was pretty. Man, please.
and also I have another comment just got in that just says his comment was also the same thing. I think everybody knows that she's pretty, so don't fight it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of,
mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing what he said. It was a little longer than that, but so what? She's pretty. Let her go. All right, so I want to let you know, you listened to Black on Black Crime. I think we covered it. That is not, on my perspective, a Black on Black Crime, that he said something about a woman, a black woman, where he wouldn't have said about anyone else. She is pretty. I just want to make sure
I said that. How can you get in trouble for stating the obvious? Somebody tell me that.
Honestly, I think it's because you're not supposed to I guess what they're saying is you're not supposed to look at her, male or female.
Oh, please.
Is that what it is?
This is not an asexual society. People look at one another. So
we are human.
I was just guessing
that was what they were, where they were going with that. But firstly, I didn't get it, so I just had to kind of bear with them on this one and say, we'll do it in case there's a lot of dissent out there saying that he shouldn't have said it. But personally, I didn't see it coming.
I posed the question to some women that I know, and I said that you spend all the time in the mirror making sure your makeup is right and your hair is done and you're dressed professionally. Do you expect a man to always compliment you on your intellect and, you know, you do a great job, this, that, and the other? Occasionally, it's nice to hear that you're attractive. So what's wrong with that?
I don't think Kamala Harris actually had a problem with it, honestly. I wouldn't think that she would, but mm-hmm. it's just our just
well,
just
I'm
politically.
Not saying her. I'm talking about all these other folks.
Okay, that means I would have gotten in trouble a lot. I do, and for those people who are on the line who know me knows better, there's nothing inappropriate about my behavior generally,
mm-hmm.
unless I'm in a place that requires that, but. I didn't want to say, like, nudie bar or something. But anyway, unless you're in a place. it's an old Chris Rock joke. He says, if you are in a strip club with your boobs out, you can't. Saying, look at them big boobs is a witty comment. He said, but only if you're in a strip club. So it was a reference to Chris Rock going to be on Real House Husbands. It was a Chris Rock joke. But you don't, just from not saying, for the record, of not just having inappropriate conversations, there are times that you pass people and you say, hey, you look nice, or that looks nice on you, or, man, you are pretty. I tell people that all the time. So I have to tell you that. For low self-esteem issues, I usually tell women, especially young girls. I think I was at the grocery store and said, you're really pretty. No matter what anybody tells you, nobody should beat you down on your looks. You're really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that to people before. So if you want to get that out of guys' mentality of calling women pretty, you got a problem. Just wanted to share that. Also, okay, so since I kind of beat that one up a little bit, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on SB Radio. You can call in and join us, area code 909-265-9189. If you're listening in the archives or you download it on iTunes, we'll still appreciate your comments for the next show if you want to send it to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. I actually like all the comments that we usually get after the show. And I want to thank everybody for listening and downloading the program. Now, that on our main topic of today, it was President Barack Obama versus Attorney General Kamala Harris. I think Daniel and I both agree, no black-on-black crime there. We had WNBA star Swin Cash versus Brittany Griner's NBA talk, you know, with Mark Cuban and all of that coming up. We do have On the Clock segment, which is the brain initiative from the president. So I wanted to make sure we kind of did a quick segment of that. And we have some World of Entertainment news also on the program. I didn't preface this because the ladies wasn't here, but one of the commercials, Idris Elba, I guess how we pronounce his name, the Golden Globe Award-winning actor, he took the lead in this Toyota the spy theme advertising campaign with the Toyota Avalon, and it's the first ever commercial for Elba, but it was created with obviously a black ad agency, and I know that's not a black on black crime because most of the good black commercials, I always think that they had black ad agencies, and most of the time they do. So it premiered April 1st across all broadcasting digital and print platforms. So we featured it already on our first break, was that commercial. So just wanted to make sure I shout out that we are helping out our ad agencies by playing specific commercials. That's not a black-on-black crime. We are picking them based upon them having black ad agencies. Well, I did anyway. All right, so blame me. if you got a problem. All right. So, Daniel, I didn't want to bring you in the middle of my mud slinging on the media side.
Well, I know how to stand back, bro, while the mud is slinging. I don't want to get my toes dirty.
Hey, you can tell finesse is missing from that conversation, right? Because it just seemed kind of odd that we didn't have somebody yelling about media and media images of black people on the show today.
They are what they are.
Hey, that's
and until we run more media outlets, they're going to be what they are too.
Oh, no doubt, and that's where the marketing and all of that good stuff come in. And also, speaking of media, we're going to talk about later in our entertainment section about Oprah has some new shows coming out, of course. We talked about the Tyler Perry ones, but there's also, and playwright David Talbert actually has a movie coming out, so we'll talk about those things in a few. And before we get to that, there was a news story, speaking of women and sexism kind of stuff. There was a news story that came out this week, and it talked about how can I put this in a very delicate way? Because I want to ask you this question before I take a break, since the ladies aren't here and Finesse's coming in. They'll probably come in after this break. But here's the question. There was a study that came out from the University of Missouri that said men seem to have a evolutionary aversion to becoming like sexually attractive to their friends' wives. Now, Kai and the commissioner went off on this, but it says and this is according to Mark Flynn, a professor at the University of Missouri, who was the lead author of the study. He said, although men have many chances to, men's testosterone levels decrease for wives of their close friends. So if they're close friends, their testosterone drops around their mates or partners, whereas around their enemies or somebody they know, testosterone levels increase. And so I just wanted to tell you, the ladies kind of laughed at that and said that that's not always true for men, that they are not attractive to their friends' spouses. But I wanted to ask you about that, Danny. What do you think about that study?
Well, it makes sense. I would personally want to turn it down a bit when I'm around my friend's wife. But if a brother doesn't have that, the wherewithal or the social responsibility, whatever you want to call it, cannot go that route, then his testosterone may be just as high. I would think around the enemy's wife, it's kind of one of those ways of men doing battle amongst themselves and trying to one-up him. You know, if I can take his girl, then I've somehow done something to my enemy. So I think in a case like that, that's highly probable.
Right. But I think for people who are not your friends, they don't see them as – they see them as free game. Now, I actually believe that the study is very accurate, because for years, and I was low-key was actually on in the moment, but you would take friends who you are hanging around. When you're around your friends' girls and you realize that there's way too many women in the world, you don't really look at them like that. Like, anybody can be attractive to anybody. And it's an old saying that if you open your heart to somebody, you can fall in love with them. It is very much true. But the truth is that you don't. If you're really close friends, you don't have any claim on that.
I would tell you,
that's when we all get mean.
This is going to be crazy. I actually try not to make too much eye contact or try not to look at their bodies as much as I would normally, say, a female that I'm interested in, or someone who, again, is not a friend of the wife. I mean, not a wife of my friend. So that way I'm not focusing on that thing. So that's
right.
What I, because I'm trying to put a mental and a physical barrier between us so that I don't migrate into that thought process.
Yeah, and that's
not amazing. Everybody does that. Some brothers, they all own it.
No, but I have to say that guys do that to a large degree, because I do the same thing. So it's that my saying of don't show me cleavage. It was a running joke, but you can't do that. So guys will put themselves, create a buffer. Now, a part of the study, they said, the professor said, evolutionary way, men who are constantly betraying their friends, their friends' trust and endangering the stability of families may cause a survival disadvantage for the entire community, is what Professor Flynn said. He said a community of men who don't trust each other would be brittle and vulnerable to attack and conquest. So he's just saying over time, this is an old thing that men learn how to control this because it weakens your community. If you are fighting over a woman, you are weakening the tribe, is what he's saying. And again, I agree with those findings because I find that just to be fundamental. You just don't look at your friends.
Well, you're distracted if you're fighting over a woman, and then, like you said, it weakens the mission of the quote-unquote neighborhood slash tribe.
Exactly. And once you do that, there you can't really get that back. You know what I mean? You can't get trust back if you start crossing the line. You know, then there's no secret that I played no on this. just don't do it. I should have played, no, that's a whole different song. Never mind. But I want to let you know. What'd you say?
I say keep your hands off.
There is no reason to look at your friends. And for the ladies, I think that's where Kathleen and Kai came in last time, as they were saying they think that women have to do the same thing. And again, that reminds me of another Chris Rock joke where he said his wife still won't leave him around her good girlfriend. Like somebody who she's close to, she goes, you coming with me. Got to go to the bathroom, you coming too. So anyway, I thought I'd share. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on S3 Radio. You can join us 909-265-9189. After this break, we'll be coming back with more of the show. We'll be back.
What if you have potatoes, but you've got a meat and potatoes guy? Pour chunky sirloin burger soup over those mashed potatoes, and dinner is served. 4 minutes, around $4. Campbell's Chunky. It's amazing what soup can do.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Step two, keep those legs strong. And step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Only the best dishes make Applebee's 2 for 20 menu. And our newest entrees are just bursting with the jazzed up flavors of Bourbon Street.
Alan, stay focused, buddy. Just need to know that these are your best dishes at a great value.
Yeah, of course.
Who are you talking to anyway?
The world.
The new creamy Cajun steak and shrimp and Cajun shrimp pasta. Big easy means big value on our famous 2 for 20 menu. One app, two entrees, only $20. See you tomorrow.
I'm happy to salute the proposal the president put forward today, the BRAIN Initiative. BRAIN stands for Brain Research through Advancing Innovative Neurotechnologies. It aims to bring together nanoscience, engineering, and neurology to make sense of how the brain works, how those circuits in the brain allow us to do all the complicated things that currently we don't understand. And that will build a foundation that allows us then to understand what are the causes and ultimately the way to prevent and cure diseases like Alzheimer's, schizophrenia, autism, epilepsy, and traumatic brain injury. This is going to be an effort of NIH, DARPA, some private foundations all working together. It is bold. It is audacious. It is going to take quite a few years. We have an amazing dream team putting together the details. And out of this is going to come a foundation for understanding the brain that we have dreamed of all through human history. And now it will happen.
Welcome back. back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, hanging out with Daniel. Putting down.
Yeah, we hanging, baby. You
know they got me. There you go.
We're doing the doggone thing.
Hey, we have to put it down. That's how we do it. Now, we
put
have some
news. Put it down for
story.
My people.
There you go. There you go. Now, we have some news stories that I want to talk about before we get started, before we get to our world of entertainment stuff. So, it just seems to be interesting to me that, before we do that, I was just kind of thinking out loud that if you're in the chat room, you want to join us in on the show, you're going to call in, or you can give us your comments or questions in the chat to let us know, you know, what you're thinking. Now, our main story today was President Obama versus Attorney General Kamala Harris from California. We also had a comment about Brittany Griner, the talk about her going to the NBA and the statements that Swin Cash made in her op-ed. Now, right now, before we go into our entertainment, there's fast food chain KFC says that it's introducing a deep-fried boneless chicken on April 14th as an alternative to its traditional breast, thigh, and drumstick pieces. Now, the new offerings, they say, reflect the growing popularity of nuggets and strips that are easier to eat on the go as Americans seamlessly endless drive to have more convenient foods. Now, KFC says nearly 4 out of 5 servings of chicken sold in the U.S. are now boneless. So based on their customer trends, the chain says that bones will eventually disappear from the menu. Now, although KFC has 18,000 locations, it will only offer it at 4,500 locations throughout the nation. What do you think about fast food places having boneless food? Now, I know a lot of them do already, but it just seemed interesting because I do have some internet comments from this one. But it just seems pretty strange that KFC would do that. They're kind of known for having the drumstick to actually go boneless.
I mean, it sounds easier to eat as you're on the go, so I don't see. I mean, it's just nice to have an option. Personally, to me, it doesn't taste as good without the bone. I don't know why.
No, yeah. I don't eat a lot of chicken, so I would not really have a comment about.
You don't eat a lot of chicken. You sure?
I didn't want to say that out loud. I don't eat a lot of meat
chicken.
Anyway. Generally, I don't eat a lot of meat. But
okay.
It says a piece of boneless white meat has 200 calories and about 8 grams of fat. Now, here's a black-on-black crime. The dark meat has about 250 calories. I'm just joking. I don't know why that was funny.
Hey.
But like McDonald's and Burger King and chain Chick-fil-A, they offer nugget strips and sandwiches, but doesn't have any pieces with bones on the menu. So I guess KFC is figuring that they want to be like Chick-fil-A, apparently.
Who knows, man? Go with the Joneses.
Okay, well, here's the internet comments. One of the comments says, without the meat attached to bone, this will allow for more fillers or fake chicken substitutes and byproducts to be put into the customers. So this is my concern. So I know I made fun of it, but here's the thing about when you have breaded food that you don't know what's up under the breading, being that we have all of these stories of using other meat in other countries at Burger King and other places. Now, another internet comment says, good luck with trying to identify what part of the chicken that was mechanically separated off the bone in the batter. The boneless batter on your plate, where it came from.
What do you think, meat-ish?
Now, see, I don't want to get disgusting on the show but this is not a commercial for KFC. No, I was saying for me. I didn't want to go too disgusting on that, but the internet comments says that what I was thinking, because I kept saying if you're losing more meat glue, for example, which they're trying to ban, but the only way that meat glue stuff works is when you have a lot of spread out meat and you need to put it back together. That stuff is not that healthy. So anyway, I saw that story. It just seemed kind of interesting to me that that they would be taking that route. And, you know, on the unhealthier note, also, at the same time, again, this is not fast food plug time, but McDonald's is also coming out with their new sandwich, which is It's Dunkin' Donuts is testing a new breakfast sandwich, which is a glazed donut sandwich.
Yeah.
It features two crisp slices of bacon, a pepper-fried egg, and is appearing in Massachusetts outlets, according to the company. And it's going to retail at about $2.99. So just in fast food news.
Inside a glazed donut?
Right. Inside of glazed donut, Dunkin' Donuts will put in some bacon and eggs inside of a donut.
Man, that's the classic of the Titans, man. Sweet and sour, all that. Wow. All that explodes in your mouth.
People are looking for ways to hurt themselves. That's all that is.
That's crazy.
All right. I didn't want to move on to our news story until Finesse is aboard and his hand is up. So we're going to welcome Finesse to the program. What's going on, brother?
I'm coming on with a flag. So they making black people donuts.
Yeah, you are coming on with a flag. See, and that's why you missed half the program, because he would have just kind of taken us in a whole other direction. There is, you missed the KFC one.
Hey, man, he's a game changer. I don't even want to talk about the KFC.
Okay, yeah, taking the bones out of chicken.
Well, here's the thing. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the show about eating healthy. We always touch on some stuff. I want people to think for a second. A chicken can't come without no bones. So think about what you're eating.
Well, and that was the point of some of the other internet comments, because you have to use meat glue, and that's not good for you, right? And I can't remember what it's made out of, but I didn't want to go too deeply into that part of it, but how they put the meat back together. I think with Chick-fil-A, and I've had Chick-fil-A, you can tell that's chicken breast. Like, Chick-fil-A actually is pretty good. But I don't know, when you start talking McNuggets processed food, I don't know what's in that stuff. And that is just my own observation. But when you start putting meat together, I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying we have had a lot of stories in other countries of people not using what they say that they're using.
It's cheaper.
So how do you check that?
It's cheaper to have, you know, the Kentucky Fried Chicken has looked at the McNuggets, the Burger King, whatever. It's cheaper to do it this way than it is to have, you know, the bone. And I'm surprised, because the thing with Kentucky Fried Chicken is their whole thing was, we serve real chicken. You notice you don't see that in the ad no more.
So,
all right. That's why they're
chicken. This chicken I'm eating, did it ever cluck? Did this chicken ever cluck? what do you mean, sir? Was it ever a real chicken?
I guess it's not clucking at KFC no more.
Well, they wanted to get away from fried. It was Kentucky Fried Chicken. So with the health conscious, I think what they said was, being that they wanted to shy away from fried foods and have more baked chicken, they use KFC instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken because all their chicken isn't fried. I don't think it's because of the chicken.
The colonel or whoever the colonel stole the recipe from is turning over in their grave.
Too, after the mob got to him, but that's a whole other story.
Okay, there you go. And there we have it. Finesse has officially joined the program. Now, before we go on to our other topic, since you missed the other two, I want to give you a couple of shots at both of them. One, the first one was President Obama versus California Attorney General Kamala Harris, and he made the comment that she was brilliant, she was dedicated and tough, and he added, by far, she happens to be the best-looking attorney general in the country. And then he later apologized because he said that it was a distraction. What do you think about what he said in generally?
I'm going to give you two. I don't think there was anything wrong with it. He was making that point. But I think when he got home, Michelle had something to say. And that's why he came up with the apology.
I did.
And I'm gonna leave. And I'm gonna leave it at that.
And I'm gonna let you leave it at that. Okay. And you said you had another one.
That was my two.
You just
one.
Don't think.
I don't think there's. I don't think there was nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
You know, but that's how they see black men. They always think they were sexist. So it is what it is. But I think that when he got home, Michelle was like, you want to say what you said again?"
Okay, I'm not. Since Kathleen's not here to throw the flag on you, they're
not,
friends.
Not on this side of the room, baby. I'm going to go over here and say it.
You call somebody else fine again. Call somebody else fine again.
I'm sure he does anyway, but okay,
it's
now both of y'all about to get muted. You know we're getting late into the butt music on this one. Now,
he's the first person to speak on the couch.
All right, so they'll have to name the couch after him. Now, the WNBA star Swin Cass versus the Brittany Griner talk. Now, Swin Cass had an op-ed for the Grill saying that she thinks that it's wrong for anybody to ultimately judge her on the success or failure of her playing in the NBA. She has all of the records and all of these things in the college game, and we need to honor her opposed to saying putting pressure on her to go in the NBA. But if she wants to go, that's fine. But Swin Cass was just saying it's wrong to evaluate her against men when she broke everybody's records and block shots in the NCAA.
I agree, and I think that Mark Cuban is a jackass, and he started this controversy. But I agree with her. We should be honoring her for what she did instead of putting pressure on her to do something that inevitably she will not succeed. And that's why they have the WNBA. Go do that in the WNBA. Bring the WNBA. I love WNBA basketball, and I can't wait for her to get in the league. But don't put this pressure on this young lady to join the NBA. And I hope she doesn't let anybody manipulate her and use her like that either.
Right. Mark Cuban said he thinks it'll be a good marketing opportunity for the NBA, which brings me to I kept calling him Quentin Tarantino relative earlier because it's just exploitive. He's saying let's just sell her. We don't care if she get hurt or anything.
Yeah, let's make money off this chick.
Yeah, yeah. That was my Quentin Tarantino's piece anyway. Now,
yeah, come see the show.
Yep.
Right. And
who says slavery doesn't exist in 2013?
Oh please. Hey, don't get me started because we have a whole nother show on who we would like to call, not the Tarantinos, but who was the guy who did Good Times? Norman Lear.
David Walker?
Yeah.
Oh, Norman Lear.
No, Norman Lear. I was going to say, you want to talk about exploitive times, we can go back on these.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Norman Lear days. Now, the Oprah Winfrey Network announced that it will soon premiere this new reality show called Millionaire's Mama's Boy, which follows around Denver Nuggets, JaVale McGee, and his mother, former star at, where was she at, USC, Pam McGee. Remember her and her sister, the two twins, played at USC. She's a former WNBA basketball player. Now, Pam McGee and her 25-year-old son, JaVale. Now, the premise of the show is Pamela is not only his mom, but she's his business manager, and she's working to build an empire while trying to keep a tight reins on the glints and keep the girls away from the NBA star. So she's managing her own life, which consists of equally famous single girlfriends who have sons that came up in the league, and Pam will kind of do girl stuff and whatever. But the focus is kind of on her as a business. She's kind of like doing, if I have to use somebody, what's her name, Kardashian lady. She's kind of doing her.
Well,
so,
you know, Kardashian mother got into it late because Kim was already propping herself up, both figuratively and economically.
Okay, all right. Daniel. No, I'm just joking. That's funny. Well, we know what that's all about. And I was going to do a black-on-black crime about Kanye and Ray J, but I figured I'd save that till we had nothing because we're not talking about them.
Oh, I wouldn't say that for next week because I got something to say on that.
Okay, we'll say that till next week. Now, Pam McGee, she has these women around her, and they're all single mothers raising their sons while dating and chasing their own ambitions. And so that's the premise of the story. But it's going to be on OWN. So OWN is turning out to be a Black network in a minute with all of the new shows that they're adding.
Well, I don't know if I would use the word black. There would be another choice word, but I'll leave that alone.
Okay.
For now,
until I read it.
Sooner or later, Oprah had to realize, like any other network, and we've had this discussion numerous times, all networks were built on the backbone of black programming for blacks and other lower class families. And in order to get the ratings and get the money, she had to have that. Now, I'm hoping that her shows that she chooses are classy. I love the connection with Tyler Perry. I love the Sweet Pie or Cutie Pie, whatever that other show is.
Sweet Pie. I like that show. Yep.
So there are some quality black programming that's on there. She continues to do this. What I don't like is her interviews. Because if you didn't do the interviews with these type of artists when you had your show on, I'm not checking for you now to do these interviews now because of how you voiced your opinion. Because to me, now you're looking like a hypocrite. The 50 Cent interview, why are you doing it now? You should have did that back in the day. So I'm not really checking for that. I give her props, give her credit. I like that direction that it's going. So let's just keep an eye on it and see where it goes from there.
Okay, well... Yeah, I agree with that. Daniel, did you have any comment on OWN or what they were doing over there? Now, I think that with bringing Tyler Perry... Go ahead.
I have noticed that there are a lot more of us on her network now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that, you know, now that she doesn't have CBS or whatever, now she's got to build her ratings by reaching out to the people who are truly going to be supporters of her. And, you know, the programming is. There are a lot more of us on her network now. I mean, you got to go with what's going to keep the lights on. So if that's what's going to do it, then that's what she's got to do.
Hey,
now, it's not unfortunate that she didn't do more of it when she was top dog on CBS or whatever her station was, but. You know, in the end, we're going to usually support our own.
Right. Don't let
our
own... use us. Let us use us.
Right. I'm done.
Did we lose Esprit? Oh, because I'm about to have a field day if we did.
the mouse is away, the cat will play. Did you mute yourself, Jerome?
I muted myself for a second because we have a caller, and so we're gonna bring a caller on because I have to kind of skip over finesse sometimes, so I just want to bring him in. We have a caller, Rajan. Welcome to Black on Black Crime. What is your comment?
Well, first of all, good afternoon, gentlemen. I hope you're having a great day. My question and guest comment. What is the deal with the focus primarily being on black women? You know, I see Basketball Wives. I see the Housewives of Atlanta. I'm looking at Preacher's Daughter and a lot of those shows, especially reality shows. But the other shows that I'm seeing, like The Game and all those shows, are primarily as their main focus is a black woman. And it doesn't portray them in a very promising light at all the time, but it always inevitably goes to a situation where it degrades the black man. Either he's a buffoon, he's an idiot, he's not very smart, and it always kind of lifts up the black woman. And that's not what the reality is in our society. I think I'm having an issue with that.
Right. Yep, and I agree. I want to thank you for your comment. Thanks for calling in. Now, I actually agree with all of that because what happens is that we have kind of gotten sidetracked in all of these reality shows, and they're all about women. Matter of fact, let me throw finesse on that because I know you had a perspective on that. So let me let you go first.
That was a great question, very great question. What happens is, as we've grown in the media, our presence, the writers, producers, and I'm just going to be honest, they don't want us to show black men in a positive light or starring in a show. They want us to be a co-star or afterthought or being dark, and it's done purposely if you look at it. And there are a lot of good writers, producers, there are a lot of good independent films or comedy shows that are out there, but they won't put them on. So the pressure we have to do is put the pressure on Bounce, Black on TV, Aspire, Diddy's Channel. Even though BET is owned by Viacom, still put pressure on them because they're willing to run black programming. They'll say, okay, well, let's have some programming, you know, that's about the black man and his life and family and all that stuff. And then there's another flip side of it, too. There's the other 50% who have stuff and they just want to be buffoonish and chase girls. So that stuff is always already on there, and that's the stuff that they would prefer to show, but there's no quality of that being produced. You know, there's no quality buffoonish programming for them to put on and get behind. So,
right.
You know, it's both ways. I think that's a very good question, but you got to put the pressure on the networks because there are producers out there. I can run off a list of them just in the DMV area alone. But there are some great programming from documentaries to comedy shows to, you know, dramas, dramedies. They have them out there. They just won't give them a shot. If it's done by a black male or surrounding him as a head that Bill Cosby day, that's over.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't having that. They would prefer more Martin type shows than they would a Bill Cosby type show.
And that is the bigger problem is that television is programming you. So we're not actually making the request that of them showing us something that we want. They're programming you to what their thought is, and that was
right.
A part of that story that we did before with the was it Michael Evans and the guy who created Good Times? Like, they wanted to control what those images are, opposed to telling a story or saying exactly how the perspective is from the people who created the doggone program. So, but I want to thank you for your comments. Also, I was going to bring him back in, but he dropped. Must be listening through the internet.
Well,
so
to comment on that, I'd like to see more programming that shows us in a positive light because they're actually positive, well accomplished brothers out here doing some big things. And I'd love to see a television show just so that our young men can say that, you know, I don't have to be a rapper, I don't have to be a gangbanger or a baller. I can be this and I can be that and I can be successful. But they don't know about those things. They don't know people like that. So if you can see it on a television program and you can see that this is a route that I can go, then I'm more likely to do that because I'm not a real gangbanger anyway. I'm actually afraid of guns. But I'm not going to let anybody know that because I want the girls to respect me because, you know, I'm a G or whatever it is nowadays.
Right. And, you know, and speaking of more black programming, playwriter and director David Talbot has his movie coming out, Baggage Claim. Now, it's been moved, the date has been moved up by a month to September 27th. It's based on Talbot's best-selling debut novel about a flight attendant with 30 days and 30,000 miles to find a husband. Speaking of what he just said, Paula Patton leads the ensemble cast, starring as the husband-seeking flight attendant, Derek Luke, Octavia Spencer, Taye Diggs, Trey Songz, Jill Scott, J. Cole, Dumanju, I can't remember his last name. Gamora's ex-husband, Adam Brody, of course, Morris Chestnut, it's a black movie, Lauren London, Christina Milian, Tia Mowry, and Terrence J. Do you think they pretty much had that
wow.
all-star cast for them, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how they gonna get
speaking lines, but they'll figure it out, imagine.
There's no extras, that's all.
Let me give you another one. I'm actually doing a story on it for the Baltimore Times, an Annapolis newspaper. It'll be out in a couple weeks. AMG Media, if you go on Facebook, please support this brother and his group. They've actually had a comic book and a children's television show that you can watch on the internet called Afro Man. Afro Man is a superhero. Teaches kids about right and wrong, but also encourages them to get behind math and science and education. They actually did, I believe, a couple of episodes on bullying and why it's okay to be smart. The other good thing behind this is they were able to get Eddie Griffin to voice the characters, and he's behind this. The reason why people don't know this is because they don't want this on TV. This guy, this whole group, they should be, if Bounce TV people are listening, I love the fact that you show Fat Albert, but you need to talk to these guys and get this on. This is a great cartoon. You can go watch it online, even at YouTube, I believe. Look it up. Afro Man, but it's Afro-Man. Or go, better yet, go on Facebook, look up AMG Media. Hit them up for friendship on Facebook. Tell them Finesse sent you. And then you can order the comics for your kids. Go online and watch. I mean, they have a great website. This is the stuff we need. We need shows like this to promote those type of individuals because there are, again, what we're saying is there's quality programming, quality books, quality music, but we have to bring it to you, and you have to support it.
Right, and I'm familiar with that comic series and those comic books. I've seen the press release before, but I didn't know the details of when it was coming out, so that's cool. What is it called?
Afro Man. Yep, called Afro Man. Through AMG Media, and they are out of, I know Florida, but I want to say Jacksonville.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll definitely put up some information on that and try to get it out. And so you can check them out on Facebook, and I don't know, I'll find a website and post that on our website as well. So we have to support those projects. And knowing that, I know we had this before Kiki Parker, Kiki Parker and the TLC project, but they already named some more people for TLC. So just so that you know, Carl Anthony Payne II has been cast as Antonio Reed. Aiden. Oh, Rochelle. Remember her? She played in some Tyler Perry movie with Blair Underwood. But she's playing Pebbles. I'll have to remember her name. I always forget her name. Anyway, she's playing Pebbles, and they've just been cast in the biopic for TLC for VH1. Of course, Kiki Palmer's Chili, Drew Sidora, T-Boz, Lil Mama as Left Eye, Evan Ross is playing Dallas Austin, and anyway... So we'll have to take a look out for that. Now, Finesse, what do you have coming up?
Man, I got a lot of stories writing for the paper. Got some projects coming up. We've got the football camp with Aaron Mabin, Keon Carpenter for FX Studio or Under Armour. That's taking place April 28th in Baltimore, Maryland. For more information on that, shout out John at 410-771-1500. But that's it. We got a Black Film Festival in Greensboro, North Carolina. That's happening August 3rd. We'll hit you up with more information as we get everything together.
Okay. And Daniel, you know, we want to make sure that you're going to come back and hit us up next week and make a little bit of noise. I know Finesse, you know, goes off the rails. So he took the calmness out of the show, but just wanted to make sure
we
threw that in there.
I'm just saying, how you gonna make a black donut and nobody get no credit for it?
that was not Black Folks' creation. I think at the State Fair there was a donut burger. I think somebody is trying to kill themselves. That's all I want to say. On that.
If you eat that donut, you gonna have your cholesterol up so high. Don't fall for the Kool Aid from Dunkin' Donuts.
Hey,
thousand berry.
Because you know that comes with strips of bacon as well, so don't fall for that stuff. But we just wanted to share. Someone in the chat room did say it seemed like we were doing a KFC commercial, but I didn't want to go there. All right. Thanks for joining in. We'll check you out next week. This is Black on Black Crime for Finesse and Daniel. We'll see you next week. Check you out, fellas.
All right, bro.